Woo, about a minute after 5 p.m. on Friday. How good does that sound? Doesn't it just feel good to hear it?
Yeah, baby.
5 p.m. on Friday, the best happy hour of the week. And time for American Hit Radio besides on 90.3 WHPC. I think it's so cool that you tuned in to listen. Thank you so much. So glad to have you with us as we continue our coverage of the Great American Songbook. This has been fun, and I hope that you're able to follow along with some of this and enjoy it as much as we're enjoying putting on the shows, because there's just so much wonderful material. I got to thinking about it actually today a little bit, because there's so much that we as Americans cover as part of American music, Americana. And of course, that usually means that we're talking about the music that came out of Appalachia, the blues, of course, jazz, and all of these things that work together to form rock and roll. And while all of that was fomenting, the whole Great American Songbook thing was going on. And it was also mostly American, more urban and urbane than everything else that you would consider to be, quote unquote, what is Native American music, or I should say Indigenous American music. But nevertheless, just about almost really so far, I believe every single one of the songwriters in the Great American Songbook were Americans, maybe not born here. A lot of them were born in Russia or some other, distant land and ended up here. But they were raised in America, most of them around the New York area. And today's show, we're covering an awful lot of the usual suspects, which is to say, a lot of the great, great, great songwriters that we've already covered numerous times appear again today. And the same thing with a lot of the performers that we've got to perform the songs. The time we're covering is from 1935 to 1936 today. This is part 16 in our series. As the decade of the 30s progressed, the pain from the Great Depression slowly began to dissipate, due largely to the policies of the Roosevelt administration, but also due to changes in American culture. The record business grew in leaps and bounds around this time, providing solace and distraction when it was most needed. It was around this time that Billboard published its very first hit parade. The reason was because records were becoming incredibly popular. A side effect to the rise in the popularity of music was a sweetening of the pop songs from this era. The Great American Songbook writers remained as clever as ever, but more of the songs, as you'll see and hear today, were romantic in nature, with melodies meant to appeal to the masses. So we're going to start off with two songs back to back, because they're both by the same songwriting team and from the same show. Rodgers and Hart wrote these songs for a musical called Jumbo. Had a whole bunch of different people in it. Billy Rose was, I think, responsible for the musical in general, but Rodgers and Hart were providing most of the songs. Doris Day was one of the original performers. Gloria Grafton and William J. McCartney, I don't even remember who they are, were also some of the original performers. But we're going to start today with a song entitled The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, and that will be performed. Well, because we always talk about the Great American Songbook is really about providing fodder for jazz artists. In this instance, that's exactly what we're going to start. We're going to let Sonny Rollins kick things off. And from there, we're going to go into a song called My Romance, which was from that exact same show, Jumbo. And in this instance, it will be sung by Carly Simon. Thank you. Wonderful version of the Rodgers and Hart composition, My Romance. That's Carly Simon. She released an album by that name maybe 25 years ago now, I suppose. I really don't know exactly when it came out. It might be more than that. it might be 35 years ago, but it's really incredible how time flies, and you get to thinking, like, when was the last time I heard anything that was new from Carly Simon? Hope you're all right, Carly, because your work is great, and it's a really, really nice, touching version of the Rodgers and Hart song, My Romance, that followed the Sonny Rollins version of the other Rodgers and Hart song called The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, which should not be confused with the 1973 song written by Billy Sherrill and made famous on the country charts with a Countrypolitan version of The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. Another good song with the same title, but they're very, very different. Just putting that out there. We'll hear from Rodgers and Hart again later in the show. Like I said, this is sort of like the show, sort of chock full of the classic writers giving us the material for today's series of songs. For example, next up, the writers are Harry Warren and Al Dubin. I will admit that before we started this series of the Great American Songbook, those names didn't mean much to me, but we introduced them, I think it was somewhere back around show number 12, maybe, when we were looking up to the year, maybe 1929 or 1930. And every time Al Dubin comes up, I always talk about the unfortunate situation of his death, because he's the one who had this big, larger-than-life persona, well-loved by everybody, but his wife left him, and then he turned to drinking and everything else, lost a lot of the work that he had, eventually became unemployed, and he ended up literally dying on the streets in New York, which is horrible, considering that this happened like sometime in the 40s when he passed away, 1945. And here it is just 10 years before that. And he's one of the most lauded songwriters in the world. He wrote this song called September in the Rain with Harry Warren. And here to perform it, a very early version of a band from Liverpool you might have heard of called The Beatles.
One, two, three, two, hey! The leaves of brown came tumbling down, remember? Yeah, in September, in the rain, the sun went out just like a dying ember. Ooh, in September. The raindrops seem to play a sweet refrain. For spring is here, to me it's still September. Oh, that September.
Confident in saying that that version of that song is from the Decca demo tapes that the Beatles recorded and were rejected. Basically said thanks, no thanks. And then, of course, they ended up going over to EMI, and obviously the rest was history. Moving forward then, again, talk about classics. When we started this series with show number one, I remember, because we're back in the year 1919. It felt like so ancient, so long ago, compared to where we are at this point in time. 1935 sounds like absolutely like contemporary. But the very first artist that we started it with was Irving Berlin, the grandpa of the Great American Songbook. And here he is now. This is 17 years later, at this point in time, 16 or 17 years later, and he's still really one of the most influential songwriters, not because of what he did, but because of what he would still be doing. In this instance, he wrote this next song for a film called Top Hat, and he wrote it pretty much exclusively for Fred Astaire. Basically, Fred Astaire was one of the most gallant of movie actors. And so for him to basically sing a song about a top hat, white tie, and a tailcoat before going to a party only made perfect sense. And Irving Berlin knew that. So that's what he did was write a song called Top Hat, White Tie, and Tails about going out for the evening. And here it is performed by Fred Astaire.
I just got an invitation through the mails. Your presence requested this evening. It's formal, top hat, white tie, and tails. Nothing now could take the wind out of my sails, because I'm invited to step out this evening with top hat, white tie, and tails. Oh, I'm putting on my top hat, tying up my white tie, brushing off my tails. I'm dudin' up my shirt front, putting in the shirt studs, polishing my nails. I'm stepping out, my dear, to breathe an atmosphere that simply reeks with class. And I trust that you'll excuse my dust when I step on the gas, for I'll be there putting down my top hat, mussing up my white tie, dancing in my tails. I'm stepping out, my dear, to breathe an atmosphere that simply reeks with class. And I trust that you'll excuse my dust when I step on the gas, for I'll be there putting down my top hat, mussing up my white tie, and dancing in my tail.
Astaire. Boy, when I was younger, I never really thought all that much of him as a vocalist, but when you see him performing in these movies and dancing and singing, he's a sight to behold. It's really something else. Makes me want to watch more black and white movies every time I hear him these days. Oh, all right. Coming up next is a song that Louis Armstrong recorded actually when it was a contemporary hit. It's the version that we've got. It's a song written by Nacio Herb Brown and Arthur Freed, a songwriting team that we've covered, again, a number of times in the past 3 or 4 weeks, anyway. It was written for a motion picture called The Broadway Melody of 1936. So here we are, changing the year at this point then. And it mostly is known, though, for being in the film Singin' in the Rain. But that was much later, in 1952, which is why this song is part of the Great American Songbook. And it is called You Are My Lucky Star.
You are my lucky star. I saw you from afar. Two lovely eyes at me, they were beaming. I was sunstruck. You are my lucky charm. I'm lucky in your arms. You open heaven's portal. Our noise for this poor mortal. You, oh baby, my lucky star.
Thank you so much, Lewis. It's always wonderful to hear you. You make my day. In fact, don't leave the room. Stay right. We need you again for the next track, because next up is a song that I want to play by Jerome Kern and Dorothy Fields. And this still amazes me. Here we are, 17 years into this Great American Songbook series that we're covering, 16 shows, and there has so far only been one woman songwriter as part of this Great American Songbook series, and that is Dorothy Fields. And she obviously has proven herself to be in good company, incredibly capable, which really to me implies that there obviously should have been other women from this same time who could have been doing the same work. But apparently that's just not the way the world worked back in the 20s and up to the mid-30s, at least by this point in time. This is another song that Jerome Kern and Dorothy Fields wrote for Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. Again, because I keep saying, like, notice how most of these songs are so romantic. This is a romance with a twist. The song is called A Fine Romance. And Lewis, please come back and bring Ella with you to perform your wonderful version of this song.
A Fine Romance. with no kisses. A fine romance, my friend, this is. We should be like a couple of hot tomatoes, but you're as cold as yesterday's mashed potatoes. A fine romance, you won't nestle. A fine romance, you won't wrestle. I might as well play bridge with my old mate aunts. I haven't got a chance. This is a fine romance.
It's a fine romance with no kisses. A fine romance, my friend, this is. We two should be like clams in a dish of chowder, but we just fizz like parts of settler's powder. Yes, fine romance with no glitches. A fine romance with no bitches. Just as hard to land as the Eagle of France. I haven't got a chance. This is a fine romance.
A fine romance, my good fellow. You take romance and I'll take jello. You're calmer than the seals in the Arctic Ocean. At least they flap their fins to express emotion. A fine romance with no quarrels, with no insults at all morals. I've never mussed the crease in your blue serge pants. I never get the chance. This is a fine romance.
It's a fine romance, my dear judges, two old fogies who need crutches. True love should have the thrills that a healthy crime has, but we don't have the thrills that the march of time has. But I'm a fine romance, my good woman, my strong age in the wood. Woman, you never give the Arkansas sun a glance. No, you like cactus plants. This is a fine romance. A fine romance, my dear Duchess. Two old fogies who need crutches.
True love should have the thrills that a healthy crime has. You know, Louis, we don't have thrills at the march of time.
You're telling me fine romance, my very good woman, my strong age in the world, woman. You never give the Arkansas sun a glance. Yes.
No, I prefer cactus plants. This is a fine
I'm sure I've said it dozens of times on the air already, but I'm going to repeat myself.
This is a fine romance. Is that what you were going to say?
Yes. And also, if you aren't familiar with the albums Ella and Lewis or Ella and Lewis Again, you really owe it to yourself to pick them both up. They are just astounding works of art. Just absolutely beautiful albums in every track. That's the swing inside of it right there. And you hear how much fun they have together. It's contagious. This next song is a song actually that eventually, you know, it's funny how the Great American Songbook works. This actually got covered at one point by the Mamas and Papas, which I don't really remember their version. It was one of the last singles that they put out before they sort of disappeared from the charts. Late 1967, after they got done organizing the concerts that were taking place that year in California, they sort of like more or less set the path for their own demise, because they instantly seemed old-fashioned when all of a sudden you've got people like Jimi Hendrix and The Who on stage changing the face of rock and roll. All of a sudden it was all about albums, not about singles, and the Mamas and the Papas kind of fell off the charts. But this, I mentioned earlier that I was going to play another song that's written by Richard Rodgers and Lawrence Hart. This is it. It was for a 1936 musical called On Your Toes. Not very popular at its own time, unusually. But the Great American Songbook has a way of basically digging up things that maybe didn't work the first time around. And this song, I think, probably reached its zenith with a version that Frank Sinatra recorded back in, I think the year would be 1953, when he released the album In the Wee Small Hours, a beautiful album of late night songs like this song called Glad to Be Unhappy.
Look at yourself, if you had a sense of humor, you would laugh to beat the band. And look at yourself, do you still believe the rumor that romance is simply grand? Since you took it right on the chin, you have lost that bright toothpaste grin. My mental state is all a jumble. I sit around and sadly mumble. Fools rush in, so here I am, very glad to be unhappy. I can't win, but here I am, more than glad to be unhappy. Unrequited love's a bore, and I've got it pretty bad. But for someone you adore, it's a pleasure to be sad, like a straying baby lamb with no mammy and no pappy. I'm so unhappy, but oh, so glad.
That's three songs so far from Rodgers and Hart today. Out of seven that we played. Pretty incredible. And again, you know, if you want to have a complete record collection, it only makes sense that you would have the album In the Wee Small Hours by Frank Sinatra, for starters. We'll get to another one in just a few minutes, because Frank will be back with us as well. Next up is a song written by Richard A. Whiting and Leo Robin. We've covered them a few times in the past few shows. They weren't always working together. Robin worked with a bunch of different people, like Nacio Herb Brown, who we heard earlier, Vincent Yeomans, Jules Stein. But in this instance, as I said, Richard Whiting. And the song is called I Can't Escape From You. It was for a film called Rhythm on the Range, first sung by Bing Crosby in that film. But the version that I've got to play is from a few years later, in the early 50s, imagine now the time just before rock and roll. The 50s are turning into the 50s. Things are becoming very bland. Think about male singers. And the one thing you would notice up until this point is that really in the entire history of American popular songs, male singers didn't really express too much emotion. I'm talking about the pop singers now. They'd sing it more or less straight. You had your your Frank Sinatras, your Dean Martins, your of course, your Bing Crosbys. But now in 1953, this guy comes along who starts changing things. He starts adding drama to his performance and histrionics. He'll hiccup. He'll sound like he's breaking down in tears as he sings. You know, he moans. And he became really influential on what eventually became Elvis Presley. It invented like a new style of male personality for singing that worked great for rock and roll. But before they called it that, and there was this guy named Johnny Ray who was performing ballads with all of this crazy emotion that drove the girls nuts. Here's a good example of it. Johnny Ray singing this song by Whiting and Robin called I Can't Escape From You.
I'm free as the wandering breeze. I'm free to come and go whenever I please. And yet I can't escape from you. And I know that I really should go. The places the seven winds would blow. But yet I can't escape from you. I could hide away and I could ride away where we'd be a million miles apart. But when I get there, I'd find you there deep inside my heart. And so you see that I'm really not free, although I'm just as free as birds in the trees. And yet I can't escape from you. I'm free as the wandering breeze. I'm really free to sail the seven seas. And yet I just can't escape from you. And I know that I really should go. The places the seven seas would flow. And yet I can't escape from you. I could hide away, ride away where we'd be miles apart. But when I get there, I'd find you there deep down inside my heart. And so you see that I'm really not free, although I'm free as little birds in the trees. And yet I can't escape from you.
I can't think of a better way to represent like 1952,
1953. That organ's a little creepy. Right,
it's so early 50s. The whole thing about it, that spooky arrangement and his really, you know, high-pitched and emotive voice. It's, wow. It's like, that's what it felt like in 1952, 53, I think, the you know, pop song. Now, that's called I Can't Escape From You. And this next song has got an amazingly similar title. It's called I Can't Get Started With You. This is one of my all-time favorite songs and performances together out of the entire Great American Songbook. Certainly my favorite song from this entire show, and in the top three of my absolute favorite songs of all time, maybe, or from the Great American Songbook. You know how that goes. You know, things change. But this is written by Vernon Duke, who provided the music, and the lyrics are so obviously written by Ira Gershwin. I didn't even know that for a while, because you always assume that Ira Gershwin writes with his brother George, but in this instance, he provided these amazingly funny and provocative, and you know, they're just really spot on perfect words for their times. Bob Hope performed it at the Ziegfeld Follies in 1936, but the killer version was recorded by the band leader and trumpet player Bunny Berrigan, and his solo is enough to basically make my head explode. It's so fantastic. I just love this song to death. Bunny Berrigan's version of Vernon Duke and Ira Gershwin's magnificent song, I Can't Get Started With You.
Still I can't get started with you. On the golf course I'm under par. Metro Goldwyn have asked me to star. I've got a house, a show place. Still I can't get no place with you. Cause you're so supreme. Lyrics I write of you, I dream, dream day and night of you. And I scheme just for the sight of you. Baby, what good does it do? I've been consulted by Franklin D. Greta Garbo has had me to tea. Still I'm broken-hearted, 'cause I can't get started with you.
Thank you.
Isn't that an amazing performance? Incredible. God, I love that. Bonnie Berrigan's trumpet is so fabulous. And Gershwin's lyrics, whew, hard to beat that. We haven't heard from Cole Porter yet today, so we're overdue. Let's fix that right now. We'd mentioned Bob Hope earlier as being the person who presented that previous song. Well, he was the one responsible for the same thing here. It was he and Ethel Merman actually first performed this song in the musical Anything Goes. And it's a song that I'm sure you know by Cole Porter. Of course, none other than Cole Porter. It's called De Lovely or De Lovely. And let's bring Ella back to sing it. Since we've had her with Lewis, we'll let her sing one solo.
I feel a sudden urge to sing the kind of ditty that invokes the spring. So control your desire to curse while I crucify the verse. This verse I've started seems to me the ten antitheses of melody. So to spare you all the pain, I'll skip the darn thing and sing the refrain. The night is young, the skies are clear, and if you wanna go walking, dear, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. I understand the reason why you're sentimental, 'cause so am I. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low. Let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's dilemmit, it's deluxe, it's delovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low. Let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's dilimit, it's deluxe, it's delovely.
The fun thing about, for me right now, playing the Great American Songbook and the way that we're moving around from the one writer to another, is I'm realizing how much fun Cole Porter had as a songwriter. He must have been having a blast, because he was probably the most clever of all, and he was also the most tongue-in-cheek, the one who would kind of push barriers in a lot of ways. And like the way he set that song up in the very beginning, during the opening verse, which, by the way, is something that's gone completely, it's gone from music. Really, it only existed in the Great American Songbook, where you would write a series of lines, lyrics, that would serve as an introduction to the song, and then you would launch into, like you said, you know, or like Ella said, you know, just launching into the refrain where the actual body of the song exists with what we would now call verse chorus. But back then, the opening verse was something completely separate from the body of the song. And just what Cole Porter did there is absolutely fabulous. And we're going to end our show with another Cole Porter song. And I said Frank Sinatra would be back, so we're going to let Frank close it. I mentioned earlier that you really don't have a great record collection if you don't own Frank Sinatra's In the Wee Small Hours. I would say that out of his entire life's work, there are two albums that you must own by Frank Sinatra. And if you do, I can almost promise you that you're going to end up getting a whole bunch more, because these two will probably make up both sides of the coin of what made Frank Sinatra so great. On the melancholy, like reflective side, is In the Wee Small Hours from 1953. And then from 1955 is the fabulous album that he put out called Songs for Swingin' Lovers. It's fantastic from beginning to end. I think that this next song is the absolute apotheosis of Frank Sinatra's entire career. The best thing that he ever recorded. And the best version of anything. Now, we've recorded this song a number of times, but none is going to top this version of the Cole Porter tune, I've Got You Under My Skin. Take care, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time that I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats how it yells in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Why not use your mentality? Step up, wake up to reality. Time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Yes, I've got you under my skin.